Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, welcome to US Paranormal. I'm here with Star. Aaron should be joining us shortly. We're going to be discussing Knights Templar tonight, the Temple of Solomon, the Curse of Oak Island, the Freemasons, kind of history behind it, the rise and fall, and how, you know, what it is now, and if there's anything present day. Star, are you with us?
I am. How are you tonight, Lisa?
Good. A little chaotic, but good. once we get Aaron on, then it'll be even better. Our little local historian, he's a big history buff, so he should have a lot of input. And then, of course, if you guys have any questions or comments, please call in or put, you know, a question in chat. And then we did schedule an hour and a half just in case we needed the time because it's such a big topic. So we'll just go from there. And if we're done in an hour, then we're done in an hour. So I don't know if we want to start kind of on the back end while we're waiting on Aaron, like about the rise and fall.
Yeah, I think you had mentioned to me about talking about how that they started out.
Yeah, I mean, it just, it dates back, and it's crazy. Politics just goes back to, it goes back this many years. You know how you see politics now, and politics back then too, and that led to their fall.
Right.
But they started out, they were originally recognized in 1139 as a Catholic military order, but they were actually founded in 1119, and they were active up until 1312, but they were favored as a charity. And so they grew rapidly and become very prominent in Christian finance. And it surprisingly, I don't know if a lot of people knew this, but 90% of their members were not even, they were non-combatant members, meaning they managed like the infrastructure, the finances, getting money for the group. They actually were not on the battlefield. So to have only 10% in battle, that's kind of crazy in itself to me because they were so successful and so like feared and known as just like crazy, you know, like fierce warriors. And so they were obviously closely tied to the Crusades. And what we'll get to throughout the show is basically they, there was rumors that the Templars initiation ceremony, it had created this distrust between King Philip the IV of France, and he was deeply in debt to them. So he took advantage to destroy them and erase the debt. And he had them arrested and tortured, and a lot of them made these confessions that they said, oh, this was out of torture, and later, you know, said, no, these are not true confessions, and they were burned at the stake, a lot of them. So can you imagine the history, like, in those areas, like, I mean, what people, I mean, it's like the witch hunt trials, you know, being burned at stake. I mean, the paranormal just has to be like just sky high. But their rise started.
It would be sky high. You would think it would be sky high in the paranormal also because of the secrecy and the things that went on within the group. That's rumored to have gone on within the group.
I know, and it makes you wonder what, how much is true, how much is not. I mean, we'll have to see what you've got on that. Because I didn't get a lot as far as everybody was denying on everything that I was reading, like anything really bad going on, and that it was just all, you know, hearsay and stuff. But they started their rise in 1099, I believe it was, after the Europeans had captured Jerusalem. And so there's all these pilgrims making these pilgrimages, and there was bandits and stuff. So King Baldwin II of Jerusalem ordered the Templars to protect the pilgrims. So it started out with a real small, like, nine knights with very few resources. They relied on just donations. And their emblem was two knights riding on one horse to emphasize their poverty. And that became their when you joined the Knights, they expected you to live in poverty. They expected you to give them all your money, and mm-hmm. you, like, they had all these rules that I'll get to later, but, like, I mean, you gave them every penny you had no money, and you lived that way, and you couldn't, like, you couldn't be around your wife or a spouse or anybody. They let very few people with spouses in, but it was just mm-hmm. insane. The level
well,
of poverty,
and I think
like,
that,
they took money, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, and I think that not being able to be with your spouse, and they didn't really want any married men joining them, it almost sounds like, you know, they wanted you to be so completely and totally devoid of yourself and connected to this group that, well, you know, they wanted you to be willing to die, and they were willing to die for what they believed in.
Yeah, absolutely. They want their focus to be on the group, strictly on the group, and not on their wife, kids, or anything else.
Right.
So then, obviously, the poverty didn't last long because they were getting all of this money coming in. And there was this prominent church leader, St. Bernard, and I'd butcher where he's from. It's like Clairvaux, it's French, so it's C-L-A-I-R. There you go. Vaux. I'm like, I know I'm butchering the V-A-U-X. So he was a prominent, because it's like Louisiana, you know, they have all that. So they have that, they're big on the V-A-U-X down there. And I butcher it every time. But he was a huge church prominent leader guy that, you know, he was like, he totally backed them and threw his weight behind them. And it ultimately led to even more power with them. And he wrote a letter favoring them and got all kinds of stuff on their behalf. He got them receiving money, land, businesses, noble-born sons from families who were eager to help with the fight in the Holy Land. And then another major benefit that came in 1139 was them being exempt from any order from obedience to local laws. So that meant they could just freely pass through, you know, all borders and not pay any taxes, and they were exempt from all authority except the Pope. So that just gave them free range, you know.
Yeah, and the thing is even though they made all these vows, they were still human. And power like that can go to your head very easily. Mm-hmm. And then you begin to start taking advantage of this and advantage of those people, and, you know, and no wonder
they
had so much.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they could get away with murder because, literally, because, I mean, they had no laws. They could travel without any issues, like the borders, you know. I mean, they could just do anything, and there was no repercussions except with the Pope. So, yeah, I mean, they could, like, swindle anybody and do anything they want.
Right.
So, yeah, they obviously grew fast, and they were often the advanced shock troops in battles. So I don't know if a lot of people realized, but, like, during these battles, they would run ahead of the main body, the main army body, to the attempt was to break the opposition lines. And have you ever heard of the Battle of Montgomery? I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, too. Some of these words are really hard. But it's like one of the most famous battles. So it was in 1177. 500 Templars defeated 26,000 soldiers. Because that's how strong they were. Like, I mean, can you imagine? I mean, the ratio, 500. 500 defeated 26,000 soldiers. But that's how...
Well,
I mean,
and there's no wonder that the people really believed that God was on the side of the Knights Templar because of these kinds of things that went on. You know, how did they, but my question is how did they overcome this 26,000? Was it hand-to-hand combat, or did they do like Gideon in the Old Testament when he took 300 men and defeated 20,000 people? you know,
yeah,
because
they
what they did was is they got all around them up top on the, you know, because the these people were down in the bottom and they were up on the ridges above top, and they had their pots and they broke them, and it sounded like a mighty army coming in, and these guys were running all over each other down in the valley, and you know, it was just mass chaos. And so the 300 won.
Yeah
Sorry, I interrupted you. You know, I'm good at
No, that's right on. And so they had like, they had three orders. Let me find the word here. Trying to think how to describe, because you had the master, like you had the master of the order who served a lifetime, although like most of them died in battle, even though they weren't supposed to go to battle because they didn't want them to die. And he had four horses. So he had four horses and a chaplain brother and a clerk with three horses. And then a sergeant, which was the next level down, had two horses, a gentleman valet to carry his shield, and lance with one horse. And so that was kind of the order. And then they had several chaplains. So they had like three different levels. I was trying to find a better description here. I had it. Here's, this might be a better description. Yeah, here's the ranks. That's the word. So you got the noble ranks and the non-noble ranks. And it's weird because in part of this it says that they did not perform any knighting ceremonies, but then there's mention of ceremonies later. So I believe there was ceremonies, but I guess there's some contraindication on that. So let's see, they wore obviously the white mantles, the famous white mantles to symbolize their purity. But if they had a married man within their chapter, I guess you could call it chapter, the married men were not allowed to wear the white because they're not pure. Yeah. And then obviously they were equipped with the heavy cavalry, with three or four horses and one or two squires. The squires were not generally members of the order, but they were outsiders that were hired for a set period of time. And then beneath the knights in the order were the non-noble families, which were the sergeants I had mentioned. And they were more the vital skill, like the trades, like the blacksmiths and builders and administration and stuff like that, but they still fought. And then you had, of course, your chaplains. And they say they constituted a third of the Templar class and were ordained priests who cared for their spiritual needs, obviously. And they, all three wore the order's red cross. But it's kind of interesting that they would do like a lifetime for the Grand Master. That's quite a long time to rely on them and expect them to behave themselves and like not be any issues. And you know what I mean? I mean, look at our politics today. I mean, would you want a president to be president for a lifetime? The corruption that could occur, you know?
Well, that's how you get into dictatorship.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the many forms. I've always been enamored with the Knights Templar, even as a little kid, you know, watching the movies. For example, watching Indiana Jones, you know, and the very last one, the third installment where Sean Connery is his dad, you know, and they go to find the Holy Grail, and it's being guarded by a knight, one of the Knights Templars. And I've always just really really loved and have been fascinated with the Knights Templar. However, I have not really dove into the history of it too much. I think I just was kind of enamored with the romanticism of Hollywood and the Knights Templar, you know, like the Kingdom of Heaven with Orlando Bloom and so on and so on. But there's so many facets to the Knights Templar, even coming down to today, which we'll talk about later. But the secrecy and the meetings and all of the things that they did and how that they fought and how that they fought and died
fierce
without a moment's thought about it.
Yes, it was
because
an
they
honor.
Were so devoted. Yeah,
yeah.
They
considered
so
it an honor to die. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
exactly. Mm-hmm. And later on, I want to mention the Curse of Oak Island, which is something, you know, may or may not be related. Like, it's an interesting show. It's obviously a TV show, so you have to kind of take it with a grain of salt because, you know, there is reality. And I'm kind of biased because there's two brothers that are kind of run the show, and they're from Michigan. And, of course, I was born in Michigan, and my family still up there. So,
I wish we could have got them on tonight. That would have been awesome.
I know. I messaged one of them, but I'd never heard back, and he didn't see my message. So, and they've done interviews, and I'll have to tell you about some of the details there, like what they don't discuss during interviews and stuff later, but when we get to Oak Island. But they feel like there may be some connection with the Knights Templar, which will be interesting mm-hmm. later to talk about. During their rise,
I have some opinions on that too when we get to that.
Oh, I want to hear. They acquired like large tracts of land, both in Europe, the Middle East. They bought farms, vineyards. I mean, there was just no limits to these people. And they had their own fleet of ships. They owned an entire island of Cyprus. And they actually are considered arguably qualified as the world's first like multinational corporation. And then their decline started in the mid-12th century. There was a tide that began to turn with the Crusades, and the Muslim world kind of became more united under effective leaders such as Saladin. Uh-huh. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, but that's okay. Lisa pronounces everything wrong.
If she's pronouncing it wrong, call in to us tonight and let us know how to pronounce it correctly. The guest call-in number is 845-277-9158. We'd love to hear from you about how Lisa's pronouncing things wrong.
I know how Lisa butchered. We should do like a clip of me butchering every name on every episode, but
a
little collage.
That would be awesome.
No, but if anybody does want to call in, has questions or has comments, I'm sure there's people that have tons of knowledge on this topic as well. But then there was these competitors. I don't know what the right word is. So there was like the Knights Hospitaller and Teutonic Knights, and they were like considered like their enemy, even though they were kind of paralleling them in a way, if that makes sense. But anyway, so the Knights were. The Templars, they were involved in several just unsuccessful campaigns, like during the mid-12th century. And one was the Battle of Hattin in Jerusalem that was recaptured by Muslim forces in 1187. And then the Holy Roman Empire, Frederick II, reclaimed the city. So it was just kind of downhill from there. And that was in 1229, where the Roman emperor, he reclaimed the city, but without their help. So it's kind of like, oh, I didn't need your help, you know? And then in, let's see, it was 1917 when we had World War I, and then the British captured it. So there was just all these things that kind of followed along and just kind of pushed them out of the way.
And so they were forced to relocate their headquarters to other cities further north, which held for about the next century. And it was lost in 1291, followed by their strongholds, their like last mainland strongholds. And then they attempted to maintain a garrison on tiny Arward Island, and they managed to lose that too. And it was just steady decline after loss after loss, you know, in the Holy Land. And then when was it? It was probably, let's see.
Oh, I have a theory for all of that.
What's your theory on their downfall? And
well, there was only, you know,
I mean, do you think it's part of the that king that was just, he was out against them because he had debt with them? You think he was tied into that?
Well, no, I was kind of coming at it from a humorous and thoughtful sort of view. It was my theory is, if there's only 500 of them fighting 26,000, you know, some of them are going to die every once in a while. And I don't think they had enough to win later on.
Well, but, you know, so they started out small, but they got bigger and bigger and bigger.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, they just took off and it was so massive.
Yeah.
And then, you know, their military mission just became less important. So their support for the organization just started to dwindle. Nobody wanted to support them because they no longer had a mission, really.
Mm-hmm. It kind of sounds like the Buffalo Bills football team.
Sorry, so bad.
Hey, Aaron is not here right now, so
I have to try to be funny
because, you know.
We can talk crap about Aaron because like you said, he's MIA. He probably forgot.
That's right.
Or something. But, you know, they had throughout the years, they had like spotted everywhere in Europe with, you know, their Templar houses. I mean, they had just locations everywhere. So even though they had the downfall of the army, they continued to have this widespread presence at a local level, even though it wasn't in war. So they still managed businesses and just had daily contact with everybody. They had the farm and the vineyard, and they were dealing with the bank and using that to store personal values. But at the same time, even during their downfall, they were still not subject to local government. They still didn't have that strict of them, and they still could cross borders, and that heightened tensions. Especially in Europe with European nobles, because, I mean, obviously they're just traveling around, creating havoc, and trying to rise again.
Right.
So
you imagine being an employee of a Knights Templar at a farm or a vineyard or someplace, you know, and you screw up and they just behead you right there?
I know. It's just...
Oh, I laugh at my own jokes, and it's kind of stupid, but anyway.
Oh, I can't wait for your book to come out. I don't think I'll be able to read it. But
why?
People, because it's horror. I don't. That's like Tim Miller. Oh. I interviewed him, and his books are so disgusting. I'm just like, I love you, but I can't read your shit. Like, it's just, it's disgusting.
I'll have to write about the Knights Templar now.
Yeah, you'll have to toss a little bit of that in there somehow.
Have a serial killer back in the 1100s.
Oh, there you go, during the Knights Templar.
Yeah.
One of them that just broke loose and went rogue and just killed everybody.
There you go.
Or you can just, like, talk about their rituals that, you know, is rumored and expand upon it and make your own rituals or something.
Or maybe I'll have a serial killer that thinks he's part of the Knights Templar and he does all this bizarre stuff and nobody catches him for a while.
You have so many ways to go with that.
Thank you, Lisa. I appreciate that.
So those of you that don't know, Star is writing a horror book, a horror What do you call it, horror
it's
fiction,
a,
I guess?
No, it's not a horror book. It is a psychological thriller. Suspense.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. There's the genre. And then myself, I've got one coming out on Doppelgangers. It's supposed to, I need to get it to the publisher. I'm so naughty. But
you need
to
get it to me.
Hopefully, I know. I've got to get started to look over before I get it to the publisher. So I would like to have it out before the end of the year. Halloween would be ideal. But those things cost money too. So, but in the long run, with them not keeping royalties, it's worth it. So you need to look into my publisher seriously. But
okay.
getting back because we're so good at getting off topic. Getting back to the night.
We are so good at that, and we're not any good at being funny. We need Aaron.
I know.
Aaron,
he's always
cracking
jokes. Aaron, get your butt on the show.
If you're listening, Aaron, call us.
Call in on the guest line and we'll buzz you in. Can't believe his butt. He knew we had the show. I don't know where he's at. But
he's probably
feeding his son right now.
Probably.
he's got a teenage son that's giving him a run for his money. So
yes.
All of you that have teenage sons know all about that. And he's dealing with that. But so it was like the arrest and all that started in 1305.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking about the King of France having debt and wanting to, so they started accusing them of all this stuff and getting these false confessions, but they were torturing them while they were getting these confessions. And then,
yes.
Of course, later burned a bunch of them at stake, although some were eventually found not guilty. So there was a mixture of results in that.
You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me, and this is serious, we were talking about, I'm sure. We were talking about Salem in Salem, Massachusetts,
yes.
And the witch trials that went on there. And what? If somebody was pulling my fingernails off and dipping me in water until I drowned, I might confess to being a witch too, even though I'm not.
Right.
Thinking,
whatever you want to hear, let me go.
Yeah, if they kill me, then I'm not suffering. And if I, whatever. If I just tell them what they want to hear, then maybe they'll let me live. But if they kill me, then I won't be suffering anymore. No wonder they got the confessions that they wanted.
Yeah, I know, right?
With the knife.
I mean, shit.
Yeah.
You just fucking torture them a little bit. And then the saying, the superstition, Friday the 13th, that come from this. Because it was the dawn of Friday the 13th, October of 1307.
Paranormal night.
Yeah, that's when King Philip ordered De Molay. He was the Grand Master. He ordered him and obviously a score of French Templars to be arrested. So that's where that thing came from. And so obviously they were all arrested and, they were tortured and all that good junk and accused of all those false charges. And
And who knows what the truth is, to be honest with you, because were some very evil, power-hungry people back then that I believe took advantage of their status and wrote things or had things written that made them look good and made other people look bad. So who knows if the Knights Templar were really evil? And we'll get into that a little bit here too. I'm sure Lisa will cover some of that. But who knows if they were really evil or if they were truly men dying to honor what they believed in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. And they were accused of, they call it idolatry, basically idling, and suspected of worshiping either, they say the figure known as Baphomet, or a mummified severed head they recovered amongst other artifacts. which
now I might be wrong on this because you studied this. Was that supposedly John the Baptist's head?
I don't know. I was gonna look that up, and I have not had time with the research. So that kind of baffled me because I'm like, whose head would they be carrying around? But it does mention John the Baptist later on when I did some research, but it didn't mention his head being severed. So I'll have to look in. Oh, well, actually, there you go.
She found it.
Found it. Just didn't read down far enough. No, so it says the severed head they recovered amongst other artifacts at their headquarters on the Temple Mount that many scholars theorize may have been that of John the Baptist. So, okay. You know, some scholars are theorizing that it might be his head, but how do you theorize? I mean, I guess they didn't have the genetic testing that we do now, so they couldn't really test it and see it. I mean, but wouldn't he have some facial features, depending on how bad his head is jacked up? But, I mean, did he have scars?
No, not really, because this was many, many, many years after John the Baptist
had
his head
cut off. So it was just a skull, you think?
Somewhere there in Israel, maybe around Jerusalem, because I know that John the Baptist, you know, he pissed off Herod's stepdaughter, and Herod's wife, who was really his brother's wife, but he stole her from him and took over everything. Anyway, so, you know, that could be where that they get their theory from. I am going just clearly out of my head right now with this because, you know, they were in Jerusalem. They were in Israel where John the Baptist had his head cut off. So perhaps that's where they're getting their theory from, you know, with the Knights Templar being in Jerusalem.
Yeah. It could be. And it makes sense.
And who knows? Maybe they just went out and dug up somebody or cut their head off and said, this is John the Baptist's skull. And
right. They just
talked to him.
They just went to some cemetery and just dug some shit up. No. And it's kind of weird. Like, why? I mean, I guess the natives did it for years. I mean, look at how many people they scalped and carried their heads around and stuff. So,
yeah.
I mean, people were just so barbaric back then. I mean, shit, I guess maybe it's just second nature to them to carry somebody's head around and, you know, idolize their head.
We're really soft today. We really are. We watch all this stuff on movies and TV, and then when it really happens in real life, we're just, you know, taken aback. And back then, this was just normal play, you know, cut somebody's head off, talk to it for a while. And, you know, and if it talks back to them, they were really something. And so, yeah.
I know. And then I was just thinking, I kind of cuss a lot. You probably don't. I gotta watch my language.
Sometimes. Yeah.
But I think we're pretty blunt.
You have a little one there.
No. Yeah. He's with Daddy. I told Daddy come get him because I didn't get any sleep today.
Yes. And I keep interrupting you. So.
No, you are not. It's back and forth, girl. What are you talking about?
Well, we can't see each other anymore, and that just really bothers me because YouTube and did away with the Google Hangout.
I know.
I'm
so guess if, any listeners, if y'all are listening in, we're used to being able to see each other and see when the next person is going to talk and, you know, do hand gestures like flipping each other off. So now we can't, like, maybe not flipping each other off, but.
Hey, Lisa, what am I doing right now?
Give me the middle finger. Give me the birdie. So, yeah, you don't know when the next person's going to talk, which is going to make our round tables a little more difficult, and we'll have to keep them smaller than we're used to, but it'll work. I love Blog Talk. It really is a great platform. We'll make it work, but we just – don't ever apologize for interrupting me because I yap on, and you have good input, and it's bouncing off each other, so –
Well, you know, and I really do enjoy Blog Talk. If we're not going to be able to be on YouTube or, you know, do a live YouTube from multiple places in the United States, then Blog Talk is really good. And it was good to us in the past, and I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, absolutely. I love their virtual switchboard where you can get your callers calling in too. Because that's the thing is when we did the YouTube, people couldn't call in. They could be in chat, but they couldn't call in. And I like that interaction. So that's the other thing.
Yeah, and you know what? If you want to call in and you want to be a guest tonight, the number is, you got your pencil and paper ready? Okay, here it goes. 845.
You sound like a talk show.
277-9158. Give us a call. Tell us how bad or how good we're doing. Tell us if you like the show or not.
Yeah, man. So, I don't know, pretty much. So then they had their, you know, witch trials, as I call them. And the Grand Master, he was a turd when he went down, but let me see if there was anything that happened right before that. So I'm trying to think. Because they were disbanded, because with Philip threatening military action unless the Pope complied with his wishes, Pope Clement finally agreed to disband the order altogether, citing the public scandal and that it, you know, and then generated by the confessions. So in 1312 is when he was like, no more. And then as far as the leaders, then Millay, he confessed under torture like everyone else or most of them, and then retracted his confession. But he was sentenced to burn alive at the stake in Paris at March 18th of 1314. Well, reportedly, he was just defiant till the end, which sounds like a lot of other people I know. So he like, I could see you and Aaron doing this, but he's like, I want to be tied in such a way that he could be facing the Notre Dame Cathedral. He wanted his hands together in a prayer position. So he's like, if you're going to kill me, you're going to kill me this way, and this is the way I want to go out. And then supposedly, too, even while he was going up in flames, girl, and he's like, of course, in his language, he says, and it's actually on parchment paper, like they recorded it and everything. He said, God knows who is wrong and has sinned. Soon a calamity will occur to those who have condemned us to death. So basically professing his innocence at the very end even. And
boom, the bubonic plague hit. Black death.
Pope Clement died just a month later, and King Philip died in a hunting accident before the end of the year. So I said karma took effect. You know, I'm a strong believer in karma, those that don't know me. I had someone screw me over and take my money during an event I hosted many moons ago, because I'm like 80 years old. No, not quite. And and she dropped dead of a heart attack. Do I sound that old? So, no, she dropped dead of a heart attack the day after Christmas. And then I got like probably about 10 people messaging me. I'm like, karma's a bitch.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that. You didn't tell me that last part.
I didn't? Oh, yeah.
Never told
Christmas.
Me.
Yeah, I dropped in. Yeah.
Damn.
Yep. So I was like, I knew it'd come around. I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to go out there and talk to people and be like, hey, this is what happened. This didn't happen. Because she was, you know, lying and everything, trying to defend herself. So I kept to myself. I was like, the truth will come out and karma will pay its respects.
Well, you know, and the thing is some people say there's no such thing as curses, there's no such thing as blah blah blah. There is too. I mean, you can bless and you can curse with your mouth.
Yes.
The tongue is a murderer.
Sheila Gay would be a good one to get on as far as curses and all that, because she considers herself a witch and is part of a witch's group. And I mean, calling that wrong, and it may be called something else. but they do mm-hmm. curses and they do stuff like that. And it's not always negative, but it's positive too.
Right.
But she would be a good one to bring on as an episode for that kind of stuff. But Oak Island,
they're actually
to be
going to be having their show on tonight after hours on Blog Talk Radio, right?
Oh,
or is it another?
Yeah, actually,
no, it's another.
Her. No, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if she's under blog or not, but y'all can look up Sheila Gay, G-A-Y, and then also Denise Pridemore is on Monday nights following, I think she follows Sheila, doesn't she? That's
P-R-I-D-E-M-O-R-E.
Yeah.
And
both
she's
going to
be
on
with us sometime in the future also.
Yes.
Denise Pridemore.
We'll be bringing, yes. We were supposed to do a round table with her and a few others, but then Google Hangouts quit offering Google Hangouts, I guess you could say. You could no longer do group chats or round tables, like, unless you were in the same room all together, but you couldn't do it from multiple locations starting September 1st. So so we had to move our platform back over to Blog Talk, which I think is a great decision. But we'll definitely be having some round tables coming up. You'll have to stay tuned for that. We'll get some of those set up. But we've got today's show, next week's show, and then we'll get some more posted for you.
Right. Hey, and let me plug something real quick.
Yeah.
If you want us to do a talk show on curses or anything else that you can come up with that is paranormal related, and you say, well, Knights Templar, is it paranormal related? Yes, it is. It is.
It
Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing it.
Because of all the deaths, the curses, the karma. There's
paranormal
so many
is not just
it.
Ghosts.
Yeah.
Paranormal is not just ghosts and hunting them. Paranormal, you know, there's all kinds of things out there that are abnormal with circumstances. Curses are paranormal to me.
What'd you say is?
Curses are paranormal.
Oh, curses. I thought you said purses. I'm like, how are purses paranormal?
I love
I'm
you,
like,
Lisa.
Do you know
I really
something?
Do. But let me
I don't know.
Send us an email at usparanormal.us@gmail.com. That's right, right?
Yes.
Or did I get that wrong?
Sounded good to me. I wasn't paying attention.
Okay.
I caught the tail end, but yes, it sounded right.
Here, let me look real quick here.
But absolutely, any topic, because we've done shows on voodoo, hoodoo. We brought on several authors that have written about their paranormal experiences. We've done crypto. We've done ufology.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, paranormal just means abnormal. It's really what it means. It's
exactly.
not. It doesn't mean ghost or spirit only. It just means the abnormal. So, I mean, there's such a variety of
people, ways. When you're out there killing people and torturing them to get a confession, doggone it, that's paranormal.
Well, and it's going to create so many hauntings. Can you imagine all the unrest souls? I mean, like Salem, we're hoping to go to Salem. I am anyways.
Yeah.
I hope you can join me April of 21 for the Paracon out there. And hell, I mean, can you? The energy's got to be just insane because of all the witch trials and everything. And then if you were to go over there, I can imagine. I mean, the energy and the residual energy. I mean, both probably residual and active.
Has got to be
a lot. So we definitely have to do some travels overseas. I'm telling you.
I want to go to Ireland and Scotland.
Well, maybe you can go to Ireland. I've got a family reunion next year in Ireland. And originally it was with my ex-husband, so you could just board the plane with me. Board the plane with me. You're stuck with an infant, though. You got to trade off an infant with me.
Fine. I'll be grandma.
We could get a rental car, and we could go off and haunt some, investigate some castles on the side.
Yep.
I won't tell my.
Lisa, I love you, but if we get a rental car, I'm driving.
Oh man, are you trying to say I drive that bad?
No.
Oh, you should try being in the car with my ex-husband. I have to take like anxiety medicine just to ride with him. And it's funny because the other day he says, well, at least you don't take anxiety medicine. And he makes some snotty comment about it. And I'm like, so you don't know I've been taking anxiety medicine every time I get in the car with you for the last 3 years?
Like,
I mean, granted, I had, I did have my massive rollover, you know, and it was at 16, 17. I guess it was June of 17 where I rolled over. And, June 4th, I'll never forget the day. God, I was like near fatality. If I hadn't been belted in, I'd be dead. But that just threw me really bad.
Yeah.
And then his driving on top of that, I'm like, no, buddy. I can't handle it. So.
Yeah. Well, we better get back to the Templars. I think we got way off topic there.
That's all right. We still have like plenty of time. We have to like,
well, it's fun because guys, we have fun and we should all have fun because if we get too serious about life, then
nobody wants a boring ass show. Nobody wants to listen to somebody that's
only funny to us.
Right. They're like, they're such idiots.
Yeah.
No. Okay. So you got the Grand Master who was like, you know, I'm only going to be buried this way. And, the remaining Templars that were arrested, they were tried, but like I said, they were virtually, none of them were convicted, and they were absorbed into the Catholic military orders and pensioned off and allowed to live out their days peacefully. And then the property of the Templars was transferred to their enemy, I guess you could say, the Knights Hospitaller, except in the kingdoms of Castile, Aragon, and Portugal. Portugal was the first country in Europe where it had settled, occurring only 2 or 3 years after the foundation of Jerusalem. So I guess there was some things there where they got to keep and were not turning over their stuff. And then the current position of the Roman Catholic Church is that the medieval persecutions of the Knights Templar were unjust and nothing was inherently wrong with their order of rule, and that Pope Clement was pressed into his actions by the magnitude of the public scandal and by, the dominating influence of King Philip IV, who was Clement's relative. So a lot of people may not realize they were related, and then you got that pressure. So you kind of have to, do what he's asking. Not going to go against family unless you want your head chopped off and mortalized.
Exactly.
And then
or talk
organization. This isn't a beach ball on an island now. Come on.
Okay.
And then with the organization, so there's several breakdowns that I kind of made notes of, which we already hit on most of it earlier, but for the organization, you know, there's the Grand Master that's appointed for life, and then the three ranks, and then it says there's no precise number exists, but the estimate at the peak, they believe there was probably 15 to 20,000 Templars at any one time, of whom about a tenth were actual knights, because remember, 90% controlled the infrastructure and all that, which it's probably smart on their part because, you know, they're the ones making the money and getting the money coming in and taking all the money from all the people joining. So I think their structure, I mean, structurally, they were smart to me to last that long and to basically steal people's money is kind of how I see it. I don't know about you. Do you feel like they just kind of jacked people for their money? I mean, hey, you can be part of our group.
You mean
group,
the Knights Templar?
You can join our
group. I believe there were some that were honorable. I really do. But I do believe, as in any faction, as in any church, as in
anything, that was their entire
politics,
thing,
I don't care,
though.
Whatever.
But
then,
to
yes,
be
I
a Knights Templar, you had to turn over all your money.
It
like you had to give them.
Some of them didn't squirrel it away.
Well, true.
I really believe it.
I would have a secret account set aside, or back in the days, a little stash somewhere. So see that.
You know, you get your googly-eyed young ones that come in and, oh, it's so romanticized and it's, you know, we're going to do this, we're going to die for God and so on and so on. And then they start growing up and they start seeing how things were working and really working in life. Don't tell me that some of them didn't squirrel it away. But I do believe that there were some who were honorable, though, and would not do that.
Yeah, I'm sure. Because if I was to join a group that said, I want all your money, I'd be like, oh, honey, I only have like $5,000 and then I have like $10,000 in the bank somewhere. You know, I would totally do it too. And then they had these kind of customs like beards and stuff. So like they had 72 clauses that were laid down initially. From types of garment to wear to how many horses. They had to take their meals in silence. They would not eat meat any more than 3 times per week. No physical contact with any women, even members of their own family.
No, that's torture right there. I'm sorry.
Eventually, well, because they wanted to focus on fighting, you know?
Yeah.
So then eventually, obviously, their list, their clauses expanded as they grew. But, yeah.
Yes.
Can you, yeah.
Kind of like and us then, with all of our amendments to the Constitution, it just grows.
And I think some of that's gotten ridiculous because let's just say I feel like it's a specific party that just can't leave well enough alone. But.
Uh-huh.
We won't go there.
We're not going to go there because this is not a political show. This is a paranormal show.
although we did do one that was on, what was that topic that we did?
Okay.
And it involved politics. I don't remember. We did one. We'll have to find it. It's probably on YouTube somewhere, and it involved politics.
Probably.
But that wasn't the target, but it involved it.
You talking about the
but
Illuminati?
No.
Well,
but
I'm gonna have to go back and look.
We need to do a show on the Illuminati, but we do want to hear your opinions. If you guys again will email us with any shows or topics you want us to bring up or talk about, because we would love to hear what you want to hear. And I think there. Did you find anything? I think they're the two men on the one horse. I think that continued to be their symbol. I don't think did that ever change.
Well, I know that the cross became their symbol.
Was on their,
also that
was on
yeah,
outfit,
it was on the
though,
white
in their white outfit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
then of course
that is still used today, and we'll get into that here in a little bit with my stuff.
Yes. And then their cardinal rule, obviously being fierce warriors, was that they should never surrender unless the Templar flag has fallen. And even then, they were first to try to regroup. So they just like gave up to no end. I mean, they were just fierce.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they left a legacy behind. And then, kind of wrapping up, I just have a couple more things. On that, the Order of Christ, which probably kind of ties into your section, following the dissolution of the Knights of Templar, the Order of Christ was erected in 1319 and absorbed many of them into its ranks, along with the Knights of Templar properties in Portugal. Its headquarters became a castle in Tomar and a former Knights Templar castle, and then you get into the Freemasonry, which incorporated the symbols and rituals of several medieval military orders, including the Order of the Temple or the Knights Templar. And then, of course, there's many legends and secrets and mysteries around it all. And then the only other thing was I wanted to mention, there was a kind of cute little 10 reasons the Knights Templars were the fiercest fighters. One was they created a brand, which is true. And for some reason, I'm missing number two. It's hidden somewhere on my paper. But number three is they refused to ever surrender, no matter what.
Uh-huh.
Number four, they were strategic, because they obviously were massively strategic. I mean, 500 against 26,000. Number
uh-huh.
five, for poor knights, they were unbelievably rich from taking
uh-huh.
everybody's money with the crops
yeah.
and wool and everything that they had. And then number six was they were a full-service financial service group, because with the pilgrims traveling across, they allowed travelers to deposit cash at Temple Church in London and receive a letter of credit and then redeem that in Jerusalem. But then they also received the English crown jewels as a security loan in the 1200s. So they, and which kind of leads to Oak Island later, because they believe that there's so many crown jewels and the Holy Grail, and they believe a lot of stuff is hidden over on that island. And then uh-huh. another one is them being so powerful, their downfall being as dramatic as the rest of the story, and the whole Friday the 13th thing, and then they remained so influential long after they were gone. I mean,
uh-huh.
you know, way long after they're gone. And so that's
well, yeah,
much
because
I have
even
on
today
the front
we
end.
Get the Freemasons, which
yes.
are supposed to be a direct line, direct descendants of the Templars, the Knights Templar.
So basically what you're saying is the Knights Templars, like their descendants, just changed their name and said, hey, we're going to be Freemasons.
Yeah.
Is that the way exactly. I'm understanding it? Okay. Because that's what
uh-huh.
I gathered, too, that I wanted to confirm with you doing the research on the front end or back end, whatever end you want to call it. But the latter end.
The latter end. There you go.
Got to sound fancy. So tell us about the Freemasons and, like, how they are, you know, how it is now and how prominent they are and when did the Freemasons start and all that.
Well, do I have to say all of that?
Well, whatever you know.
Oh, I don't know nothing. The Knights Templar today, most historians agree that the Knights Templar fully disbanded about 700 years ago. But there's some people today that believe that the order of the Knights Templar went underground and remains in existence in some form or another. One of those groups is the Freemasons. There are, and I did not realize this, but there are a lot of people, there's many people that claim to be Templars today, even from the far right, which we know.
Oh,
know,
hey,
the,
we have somebody calling in. Let me answer that. Real
go
quick.
For
one call. How do I answer the damn phone?
I don't see a call. We told them to call in, and we don't know how to answer.
It says one caller.
That's
well,
me.
It's been ages,
well,
guys. I'm sorry. It's been ages since I've used this. Let's see.
I think it's me.
Search call. Oh,
or maybe not.
One caller. I don't know. Hell, there's no. I'm sorry,
awful.
Guys. That's to call a guest. We don't want to call a guest. But it doesn't pop up. Normally, it pops up with their phone number. So I guess,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. If somebody's trying to call in, please call in again and we'll see if we can get it picked up on. I apologize. I'm retarded. I don't know how to work this switchboard. It's been a minute.
Lisa,
do I need to give them
your personal phone number?
No, but normally, like underneath where it says our host name, normally it, unless that's my, maybe that's showing me calling in, but normally it'll say, like, you know, their phone number and stuff. But it just says one callers, so it kind of makes it sound like there's a caller. Anyway, sorry
yeah.
to interrupt because I'm going to interrupt.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. I don't know where I was, but that's fine.
I know. You were talking about nowadays and how the Freemasons.
Oh, yes.
Today,
there's a lot of people that claim to be Templars. And even from the far right, to the Mexican gangsters. Did you realize that? I did not realize that.
No.
I found it on the internet. It has to be true.
Oh, okay. Definitely.
But then right after it said that, it says clearly these have little to do with the original Templars. Now, one person, back in 2011, July of 2011, as a matter of fact, and I remember this very well, his name was Anders, and I believe it's Breivik or Breivik, and he was in Norway. Do you remember this guy? He killed 77 people in Norway.
No.
And he claims to be a Knights Templar. However, I doubt that he was, but he was claiming to be fighting politically, and he set off a car bomb in front of the prime minister's office and killed a bunch of people there. And
I mean,
then,
look at the Knights Templar. I mean, they weren't really political. They were just about battles and gaining ground. They didn't sit there and say, "Oh, you're a Democrat, you're a Republican, let me kill you." Like, that doesn't
hold water very well. But there, he killed. He set off that car bomb and he killed 8 people at the prime minister's office. And then he gets on a boat and he goes to this island where there's a bunch of teenagers and counselors at a camp. And he goes and he kills them. He kills a bunch of them. So 77 people in all, including teenagers or kids, that were killed by this guy who claimed to be a Knights Templar. That is not a Knights Templar.
No, because they don't just kill random people. They fight in battle, but they don't just go randomly killing people.
Well, he wasn't random. He had been planning this for years, according to...
Well, yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, you don't just
according
kill
to what
people, like, for no reason. Yeah. Like, and especially kids, too, on top of that. Like, no.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, even if
the Knights Templar
would have
balked at that, of killing children. They would have balked at it because that was not what they were about. now, some of them, I believe, were probably psychopaths and sociopaths and did do whatever that they wanted to, killed whoever that they wanted to without a blink of an eye. Because we have those types of people in society today. Don't let your guard down and think that there wasn't that type of a person back then. So, but anyway, there was that guy, and he called himself. So just because somebody calls themselves a Templar today does not mean that they are of the Knights Templar. now, there is an organization today, the OSMTH. It's the Knights Templar International, registered in Switzerland and recognized by the United Nations as having special consultative status. They consult with them. They help run monies and different facets of the organization of the United Nations.
Now, were you able to find out if they're charitable or considered nonprofit or... Because you know how back then they were considered.
Like
sorry. I was just thinking how back then they claimed to be all nonprofit. Like, you know, oh, we take donations, we have no money kind of thing. Although they probably didn't use the word nonprofit back then. But I was curious if nowadays to get around all the laws and keeping money and, you know, if they claim to be charitable, you know, and do they donate?
Right.
Do they donate any in any way?
The what it is, it they call themselves a cosmopolitan society. They do humanitarian work, and you can find all of this. I'll plug this for this dude, whoever he is. He wrote a book on it, as a matter of fact. But it's the Templar Knight, alllowercase.com, and you can look it up on the internet and find it for yourself. But it talks about the OSMTH. And it says that they describe themselves as a network of education professionals who undertake humanitarian work. And one thing that is different between them and the old Knights Templar is that they have male and female members. And they are a cosmopolitan society, or in other words, they are a society of many different politicians, many different walks of life, rich people, poor people, whatever, you know, and they are part of the society that does this humanitarian work. So I would almost think that they are probably, whatever that they get, they probably pour back into the people, but don't take me at face value on that, because I haven't clearly studied all of that yet. The OSMTH is clearly a Christian organization and allied to the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
So
it's funny how they look all, they tie themselves to the church, and it's always the Catholic Church too. Like,
yes.
Back then it was the Catholic Church, and this time the Catholic Church.
Yeah. Well, you can look them up on Facebook, OSMTH. Let me get back to my notes.
No, you're fine. We just had someone that was asking if we're – they're like, are you still going on air tonight? I'm like, we've been on for an hour. So, like, please come join us, and you can sit and chat and talk to us. Like, I posted like three announcements, like one, so I was trying to get them over to our chat.
Here's somebody that has joined the conversation, Vorpalbite 3, and they have a picture of Jaws as their picture, and I love it.
Oh,
welcome.
Awesome. Welcome, welcome. You're a little late to the show, but that's okay. We forgive you.
Yes,
you missed
we do.
The introduction.
Come on, join us again.
You missed the rise and fall of the Templars, but you'll have to listen to it on playback because it was pretty detailed and awesome. But Star is now getting into kind of the mainstream and what's going on now with the Masons and the group out there now that's claiming to be part of the Knights Templar.
And if you out there, I know that you've joined us, Vorpalbite 3. If you want to call in, our guest call-in number, I love doing this, is 845-277-9158. We'd love to hear your VORP. We will call you VORP. Hello. we would love to hear your lovely voice, VORP. All right. I'm sure they're just laughing their heads off at me right now. Okay. I'll get back to what I was talking about. All righty. So OSMTH is the Knights Templar International, registered in Switzerland, and they are recognized by the United Nations. Now, the Freemason version of the Knights Templar, which claims to be direct descendant from the original order of the Knights Templar, is the United Religious. Now, what they had in there, the United Religious, Military, and Masonic Orders of the Temple and of St. John of Jerusalem, Palestine, Rhodes, and Malta. Boy, that was a lot. That's a, no wonder they shortened that down to Freemasons.
No, I was going to say, there's no way I'll remember all that. I started to jot down some notes. I'm like, oh, forget it. You guys have
forget it. Because,
no, we'll stick to Freemasons of United Religion or something. I like to do
now,
my
there is an
organization.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you'll have to do that or I'll send you my notes because that's a lot. No wonder they just went to Freemason. But there's an organization for the Holy Royal Ark Knight Templar Priests, and they actually have an address that you can look up, and it is, are you ready? Anybody want to write this down? HRAKT TP, as in toilet paper, .org.
I like your TP as in toilet paper.
Well, you know, it's easy to
a great group here. It is. It is. You can relate. Very, very easy to understand. What I wanted to ask was, you know, how back during the years when they, before they were all burned at stake and everything, how they had their grandmaster that served a lifetime. Do they do the same thing with the current day groups? Do they serve lifetimes? Do they have a grandmaster, or what do they call them? Have you noticed or found that in your research?
Well, I have not seen that in my research. You know, maybe it was like the father on Happy Days. He was the grand poobah. I don't know. but
that'd be interesting to figure out. Yeah.
Yeah, it would be interesting.
Because, I wonder if they follow a lot of the same give me all your money. We have a grandmaster that runs everything. I wonder if they follow a lot of the same traditions. Like, how many traditions do they follow that are the same as back then? That'd be really interesting.
There's so many of them. When I was studying this, there's just so many. I've got 5, 6, 7, and I just barely skimmed the surface of how many Grand Priory Knights, Templar in England and Wales. There's the Sussex Lodge and East Anglia Lodge. I mean, there's all kinds of. There's even the Militia Templi. They're a lay organization of the Catholic Church founded by, are you ready for this? Count Marcello Alberto Cristofani della Magione in 1979. I got through that name. Can you imagine
that? I was going to say, I don't think that name was long enough.
Well, yeah, but anyway, so there's all kinds out there if people will just do the research for themselves instead of just relying on the History Channel, which is a good channel and which really gives us a lot, you know, but search it out.
I did want to hit on the History Channel though, on the Oak Island thing, just a little touch up on that at the end. We're down to 17
minutes. Well, let's go
to
it. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it.
Okay, if you're ready. So Oak Island. I love Oak Island. They do tours now. So I do want to do a tour, I have to say. But so there is a TV show called The Curse of Oak Island, which kind of led me to learning about Oak Island. And there's the Lagina brothers, that Marty and Rick, that pretty much bought out almost the entire island. And so they believe that the Knights Templar, and there's been some proof, although sketchy, they're trying to find more proof, but they found coins and different things that have led them to believe that, like, the Holy Grail and gold and treasure have been buried there from the Knights Templar. And they've found, like, buttons and different pieces of material from clothing from that time period. There's been kind of a breakdown on this. So the money pit, what they believe is a money pit, is like myth versus reality. There's a story that goes back to 1795 where two young boys rode over, found a tackle block and some sunken depression in the ground, and dug down 30 feet and found some log platforms. And they believed that there was multiple log platforms going further and further down. So you'd have to kind of follow along with the show. It's on the History Channel to get the whole scoop on it. So it's pretty interesting because there's different parts of the island where they feel like the money may be. They've dug several wells. They feel like maybe there were some booby traps to these platforms because they went to dig down and then it was flooded with water. So then there's another theory of, okay, well, maybe they buried the money, but then it was, you know, booby trapped. And then they have an archaeologist on site, which apparently took a long time to get one because they're all just really skeptic. But they got one in Nova Scotia
like top best archaeologists, and his name's Laird, L-A-I-R-D, last name N-I-V-E-N. And he's still a skeptic, but he does work with them, and he looks at all the items because they filter through, you know, kind of like you would gold. They filter it and look for material as they dig up the ground and look for items. And then they have, you know, their metal detectors, and they have just all kinds of equipment. Of course, the wells with the drills and stuff like that. His father started this initial search prior to the two boys, and his father was persistent and like, he's like, I've been to the bottom of the well. I've seen, you know, this chest down there and possibly a body too, because, and there's this myth, or I guess you'd call it a myth, that seven people must die before the treasure is found on the island. Well, it had always been six. Well, since I don't know at what point, but a seventh person has died. So now, you know, they're not announcing it on the show yet, but that seventh person has died, and now they're saying, you know, maybe the treasure will be found. But
so anyway, we go back to the curse.
Yeah, and the excavations, normally they're like slow, you know, because they want to be careful and make sure they don't ruin anything. But so many people have been over there, different hunters digging and moving and stuff, so now it's just fast paced, and which is really unconventional for the archaeologist, but he goes with it. And what's crazy is they have no licensing requirements. Basically, for every dig, they rarely have to get one, so they get pretty much a free pass, the brothers there on the island. And when they interview, cost is off limits. Like, they've been interviewed and said, how much are you spending? Because one of them, I think, works oil, but the other one is kind of unclear. And one is now retired. And they asked them, how much are you spending doing these excavations and stuff? And they're like, that's off limits. You know, that's, we're not going to discuss that, which is kind of understandable, because if you're dropping your whole life savings on trying to find this gold, you know, that you believe came from the Knights Templar. And then, you know, both brothers are convinced. But when you ask them about proof, I mean, they're convinced, but some say there's no real proof. But then I've seen some of the shows. So I've seen where, well, they found coins from that time period. They found pottery from that time period. They found material from that time period. So to me, that kind of is proof that maybe the Knights Templar were over there. It's really hard to say until they keep digging. And they said, they're called, their last name is Lagina, and the Lagina brothers said they've actually thought about digging up the whole island, just dig up the whole damn thing. But obviously, one is cost, and two is environmental issues. And they said it'd just destroy and damage the ecosystem. So they can't just tear up a whole island looking for gold. So they're trying focus, you know. But I mean,
Bort just texted on chat and said to get a strip mine crew in there and do it right, do it with gusto. You know?
They actually did blow up some. There's a pond area where they believe maybe there was something under this pond area that it didn't used to be a pond, but it's filled with water now. And they blew that up to see if anything surfaced. So they've been targeting specific areas, but they've been doing it out of information. Like, they're getting some really good information come in, and then they target specific areas. But they currently have like five different areas that they're working on. So each show, it's just they kind of hop from area to area, which is a little hard to follow. But I mean, they do a lot of recapping, so it's not too bad. And then they ask the Lagina brothers, what's your purpose in this? And Marty was straight up, I want the treasure. I want the money. And Rick was like, I want to solve the mystery. He's like, the mystery is what's killing me. And their father,
see, Rick,
you know,
is the one I like.
Rick is what?
Rick is the one I like. If anybody could make me go straight, it would be Rick.
You've seen their pictures. And their father,
I've watched their show. I've watched every episode.
Okay.
Yeah, they've been on for years doing this, and even before the show, they were searching for all of this stuff. And they've really turned up some
ground radar, and actually they have done ground radar. They've done radar down the well, and I mean, I'm telling you, they did dye. They ran dye from the well out to the ocean to see, like, where it's running out at. They have done everything that they can think of.
Right.
And that people have recommended.
Well, and they've even set off shock charges and then read. They had a company come in that had explosives set every few feet apart in a grid. And then they would set off these charges. And they had radar that was able to read what the ground was doing underneath so that they could see pockets or see whatever, you know, underneath the ground. And that's how they began finding some of the places that they needed to look. And they've actually come up with some parchment with the red lettering on it from medieval times. They have found coins. They have found jewelry.
Yes.
I'm excited about this next season that's coming up. I'm going to plug for them, too. Go watch The Curse of Oak Island on History Channel.
Yes, absolutely.
It's a great show. It really is.
Yeah. I mean, and if nothing, you get the entertainment value out of it. But I really feel like there's something there. I think they're on the heels of something. It's just figuring out where it's at. I mean, there's been proof of the Knights Templar visiting that area in Nova Scotia, so it's not like it's unreasonable, and they had to have somewhere to hide their treasure. So I don't know. And, of course,
well,
their father, you know, was
the
doing
Templar,
it for
her. One thing about the Knights Templar, they weren't stupid. They were very, very articulate. And I don't believe that they hid everything in one spot. There may be several spots over Oak Island and Apple Island, and there's another one out there. I can't remember the name of it. There may be spots there. There may be spots all over the world that we don't know about. But
But I mean, because look at how they spread out through the community locally. I mean, they were just massive and everywhere. So, like you said, they could have stuff everywhere.
Yeah, they very well could, because every good pirate even knew you don't hide all of your gold in one spot. You know, you take it and you map it out and you hide it and you set booby traps and all this kind of stuff, which was done in some of the places that they have been looking on Oak Island. I'm anxious to hear about who it is that has passed. I'm wondering if it's the old man.
And I can't remember his name, but I'll tell you the name here in a second. And then a question was asked of them how much time they spend on the island, which is over 5 months. And a lot of the family doesn't even believe in what they're doing, but some of the family does help them hunt. So the seventh victim, his death was curious and mysterious. Obviously, you know, the seventh person must die. And they found him dead on his knees in a praying position. Otherwise, no other details. And he's non-religious. And prior to his death, he set out for an ancient map of the island, of an island that's believed to be of Masonic origin. And, and then the show has yet to mention it. The show has not even mentioned his death. And just prior to his death, he also was given some privileged information from the great-granddaughter of a top Masonic grandmaster. And then they were saying, well, there's a Susan Conway who was working with him just prior to his death. So I don't know if that's the great-granddaughter or not, but the seventh death or victim of the island was Matt Chisholm.
Matt Chisholm, okay.
C-H-I-S-O-L-M. So I need to look up and see which guy he was. But, that's the seventh victim there.
Oh, man. Okay.
So, yeah, I know. You're going to be, like, looking it up, I know.
I'm going to be crying about this. But I've gotten to know each one of those people on there, it seems like. You know, you bring them into your home.
I know. Yeah, I know. And no, Vorp, we don't think he was executed. This was a close-knit community. That they were family. And I really don't feel that in any way they would have executed him. I mean, no. But so we're down to our last 5 minutes. Is there anything that you want to plug before we plug the, we could plug the next show also that's coming up?
Well, you know, we're going to have our, just to kind of talk about our show a little bit, we're going to have our shows. Is it every Monday that we're going to be on, Lisa?
Yes, Mondays 6 to 7 Central Standard Time, so that'd be 5 to 6. Are you Mountain, considered Mountain?
Yes.
Mountain Standard Time, 5 to 6. Mm-hmm. And then it would be 7 to 8, excuse me, 7 to 8 Eastern Standard Time.
Okay. We will be taking a break for the holidays. We'll let you know when that is. But when we come back, they usually have the Curse of Oak Island after Christmas, usually starting in January, February. When we come back, we'll keep you updated. I'll keep you updated on what's going on the Curse of Oak Island. Sorry, I had to throw that in.
No, that's cool, because some people may want to be updated on that. And then our we do have a September 9th show scheduled. I don't know how far out we'll go, but, again, we will do some roundtables combined with our own shows. So the one September 9th, it'll be Monday again, 6 to 7 Central Time. And that one will be the Lost Colony of John White, which is Roanoke. And a lot of people are familiar with that, but I think it'll be a good hot topic. I know that's one that Aaron is fascinated with, so his little butt better be on the show, or we have to go hunt him down and beat him up. And I think that's probably about it. 3 minutes left. Star, do you want to talk about your book that you have coming out?
Well, I do. It is about persons of interest, and it's going to be a multi-book project. The first one is Persons of Interest, Baltimore, and it's going to be a work of fiction based loosely on some different things that I have come across in my studies of serial killers for the past 30 plus years, about the same as my paranormal work. But anyway, we will be, I'm going to be writing that and hopefully getting it finished here pretty soon. You're going to have some good characters, and I'm hoping that they're going to have a good impact on your emotions.
Because now, are you selling off any of your characters with your book?
What do you mean? You want me to tell you a name?
No. I mean, like, some authors, they will sell off characters. They'll say, well, you can, I can make you, I can, like, they'll use their real name. Like, Lisa, I can make you killed off in this chapter. And so it'll be like, Lisa Taff was killed off, you know, in chapter seven, and this is how. I don't know if you
know what, that's a
like
good
that
idea.
At all.
And
yeah, people would pay, like, $10 or something. There was, like, a flat
fee. If you want that done. If you want me to use your first name, and I'll make up a last name, or if you want me to use your first and last name, you know, and have your family scared to death and calling the authorities after they read the book or whatever, if you want me to do that, then send me an email. Then send me an email on usparanormal.us@gmail.com. And we'll talk about it.
Cool. That'd be pretty interesting.
All right.
Lisa, sounds
you
great.
Want to
sounds
my
great.
Book?
No.
Oh, come on.
I'll just stick to writing mine. And mine hopefully is out by Halloween. That's the goal, but
okay,
definitely by the end of the year. And we are down to our last minute, so I guess we will see you guys next week to discuss The Lost Colony of John White. We appreciate everybody that's joined us, is listening in, and, of course, it's available on playback. So hopefully some people listen back on playback, too. And then hopefully you guys join us again next week, so we'll talk to you then.
Boy,
and I will
good
talk
meeting
to
you.
Yes, Vorp, thank you for joining us, and hopefully we see you next week. And good night, everyone. And Star, I will talk to you next week, if not sooner.
If not sooner, you know how we are. We talk a lot. We're women.
Yes. All right. Good night, guys.
Good night, everybody.